We're starting a new series today. We're starting our Advent series, and Advent is a time before Christmas. If we look at the classic church liturgical calendar, it's pretty much a calendar of the church throughout the year. And there are seasons like Lent leading to Easter, and seasons like after Easter leading to Pentecost. But there's a season before Christmas that leads towards Christmas. It's called Advent. And Advent is a season where we prepare our hearts to fully receive, fully tap into the life of Jesus as we celebrate his birth. And so Advent is in that calendar. It's on that seasonal year, the four Sundays before Christmas. And so we're starting today. We'll move on towards next week, the week after, until the 22nd, which is the Sunday before Christmas. And we're going to practice the season of Advent together. And what it is, it's a season of intentional reflection, intentional living as we prepare our hearts to fully embrace the birth of Jesus. And what Advent actually translates to is coming or arrival. And so the word Advent actually translates as coming or arrival. And it's a season where we remember and celebrate when Jesus arrived on earth 2,000 years ago, his coming and arrival to earth here in Bethlehem. But it's also a season where we look forward to the second coming of Christ. And so Advent is a twofold definition. It's the coming, celebrating and remembering the birth of Jesus, but also it's an anticipation of the coming again of Christ. It's remembering the past and anticipating the future. Remembering the past, the birth of Jesus, and anticipating the future of his second coming. But the great mystery of Advent is this, is that Christ has both come and has still yet to come. Isn't that a mystery? Isn't that a paradox that he's come already, but he has yet to come again? One of my favorite theologians, R. Allen Woods, says the kingdom of God is the already, but not yet. The already, but not yet. And I find that in our lives, in our Christian walks, we're caught somewhere between the already and the not yet. The already, Jesus has come. He's won all our victories, won the battles. He's come into our lives, but still the not yet. I haven't fully received the fulfillment of that promise. I haven't fully seen breakthrough in my life. And we live in this tension in this Advent season between the already, but the not yet. And today, I want to talk about anticipation on our first week of Advent. And I want to propose to you this. What we anticipate about the future will shape what we experience here and now. What we anticipate about the future, about what's to come, will shape what we experience here and now. And so we're going to talk about anticipation today. But why don't we start with a word of prayer and we'll get into the word. God, we thank you, Lord, that you've come 2,000 years ago, the Advent in Bethlehem, the coming and the arrival of our King of Kings, of the Savior of the world, of the Messiah, of baby Jesus. But God, we also are between the already and the not yet, and we anticipate you coming again to finish what you started. And so in this Advent season, teach us how to live in the tension between the already but the not yet. Teach us what it means to live between the first Advent and the second Advent to come. We love you. We honor you. Would you open up our hearts? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think all of us experience anticipation in our lives for something, right? For me, I love movies. If you look at my podcast history list, I'm that kind of movie nerd that listens to podcasts about movies, right? And so I remember many, many years ago, I think it was in 2014, I'm a big MCU fan, Marvel. I remember when they announced Avengers Infinity War, right? I remember anticipating, oh my God, they're going to bring all the Avengers together after 20 movies, and I was just anticipating the Avengers movie. It finally came this year, hallelujah, God fulfilled my dream. I think all of us anticipate something. Maybe you're anticipating Friday throughout the week. You're waiting for the weekend. Maybe you're anticipating your next paycheck because you broke. Maybe you're anticipating a vacation the next time that you're going to travel somewhere or that next promotion. Maybe you're like me and you're anticipating Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Maybe you're anticipating one day that you're going to be married. Maybe one day you're anticipating your retirement. I don't know. But all of us anticipate something. But it's not just good things that we anticipate. I think some of us also anticipate that this relationship isn't going to go anywhere, that it's just a matter of time until this falls apart, that this job won't work out, that this promotion won't come through. I think all of us live with anticipation. And I want to propose again, what we anticipate about the future will shape what we experience here now in the best and in the worst ways. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid in fourth or fifth grade, I think it was fifth grade, I learned that there's a pattern happening at school that every few months the teacher will mail a progress report or report card to our parents. And I've learned the rhythms because I know that every few months I would get punished for bad grades. And so I would just know that there is this letter from my teacher condemning me, saying all the bad things that I'm doing, all the ways that I'm failing, and my parents are going to read it one day and punish me. Well, I remember one season, I was horrible at science. I was so bad. One year, I just didn't do my science project. Like, I didn't do anything. I started working in fifth grade. I was making models of planets still in fifth grade. I remember just scrapping it because I remember thinking, this isn't very good. And I remember that season, I had a D+ in science. Now, Korean parents, their bar's really high. And this is the season where my parents hadn't yet given up on me. They still thought that I might be a scientist or a doctor or a scholar or something. And they hadn't given up on me yet. But I knew this would be the final straw. I knew that I was going to get beat, okay? And so I remember anticipating, oh my God, my teacher is going to mail that report card. So much so that I lived in so much anxiety throughout the school day thinking, when my mom picks me up, this is going to be the day. This is going to be the day of my reckoning. And as each day would pass, my anxiety would grow because I knew this letter was coming. And so I lived in fear, I lived in anxiety, but one day the letter did come, and I got to it first. And so I remember I hid it under my bed. It was the D+, as I predicted. I put it under my bed. I forgot about it for a few weeks. One day my mom picked me up, and as we were driving home, I stepped into the car, and I knew something was off. Like, the air felt frigid. I swear I could see my breath in the car. Like, something was different. And I remember as we're driving, my mom looked at me, doesn't say a word, pulls out the report card. And in my pastoral head, I'm thinking, oh my God, like, it's over. And as she was driving, I kid you not, she starts hitting me and wailing on me. And honestly, at this point, I'm old enough where the hits don't hurt. Like, it's not affecting me. But I'm scared for my life because my mom is driving at the same time. She's swerving in between lanes. She's swerving. I'm like, Mom, please, you can hit me at home. Just don't kill us. But I remember that feeling. You know what I'm talking about. You know something bad is going to come. And it affects how you experience the now. And I find when we anticipate a bad future, a future that isn't going anywhere, a future where everything falls apart, it's hard to actually live fully present in the present. Another example, I share this example every year for Christmas because it's one of the most meaningful gifts my father gave me. I asked him one day for a puppy. I was a little kid, and I had already tried asking for a brother or a sister, and they wouldn't do it for whatever reason. I guess it's hard to have a baby. I don't know. But my dad did say, I will get you a puppy. And I remember every day when I would get home, the anticipation that I would feel. It wasn't like the report card, because I knew my dad would fulfill his promise. And so every day, I would feel a joyful anticipation, like, oh my God, the puppy is going to come. Oh my God, the puppy is going to come. And as the days increased, the anticipation grew, that, oh my God, the day is coming when the puppy will come. I remember finally the day arrived when my dad came home, and he didn't have a puppy in his hand, but he told me, reach into my pocket. And so I reached into his pocket, and I felt something furry. And I pulled out this tiny little chihuahua. And I remember thinking, oh my God, you were so good. You answered your promise. Well, this chihuahua would go on to terrorize me and demonize my life. But at that moment, I was so filled with joy. See, there's a difference. What we anticipate shapes our experience of the here and the now. Today, I want to talk about 2,000 years ago, around the time of the birth of Jesus. And I think all of us know this story, and so we kind of gloss over it, and we kind of forget how big it actually was. But 2,000 years ago, there was a great anticipation. See, the Israelites, you have to understand, for hundreds and hundreds of years, close to 800 years, all that they had experienced was defeat, was oppression, was enslavement, was exile. They were literally homeless without a nation. They had no national identity. They were being taken as slaves, as refugees. They were lost and broken. And you can imagine for hundreds and hundreds of years, generation after generation after generation of brokenness, how dark of a place that they were in. But yet in the midst of their oppression, over hundreds of years of brokenness, there came a prophet named Isaiah that prophesied something that would change the Israelites forever. And it's found here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 6 through 7. And he prophesied this to the people of Israel. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. I want you to imagine that you're these Israelites. And all your family has known has been oppression, has been enslavement, has been brokenness and exile. We don't even have a homeland. We are refugees. We have no home. We have no identity. And Isaiah's prophesying there's going to be a day that while you're in deep darkness right now, that a light's going to come. And this is where the light's going to come from in verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. A people who had been living in great, deep darkness for years upon years, hundreds of years, it's all they'd ever known. And here Isaiah prophesies that there will come a child who will bring light to your deep darkness. You know, I don't know if we truly understand here in the city what deep darkness is like, but I remember going to Indonesia one year and I experienced deep darkness for the first time because there is no electricity. We are in the villages, in the boonies, there's nothing. There's no lights. The only light that guides your day or your nighttime is the light from the moon. But I remember one night I was going to the bathroom and I had my little flashlight with me. And the bathrooms in Indonesia, you have to leave the house, go to the outhouse, walk through field. And I remember I was walking through the field in the nighttime with my little flashlight. I went to the bathroom. It was about 2 a.m. And as I'm walking back, my flashlight runs out of batteries. And I remember the moon that night just happened to be covered by a bunch of clouds. And I remember thinking, I have never known darkness until this moment. Literally, I could not see anything. And I was starting to panic. I was groping along the ground, trying not to get bitten by tarantulas and snakes, and just trying to make my way back to the safety of my bed. This is the type of deep darkness that the Israelites were in. See, darkness represented blindness. You can't see an exit. You can't see a refuge. You can't see a solution. It represented despair and hopelessness. And maybe some of us have experienced deep darkness in our lives. Maybe some of us have been in seasons where I can't see the other end of this, where I can't see a reason to have hope, where I can't see a reason to anticipate something better than the situation I'm in, where I can't get out of my despair and my hopelessness. See, these people were walking in that kind of deep darkness. But it says here that Isaiah prophesied that the people walking in deep darkness will one day see a great light. See, the prophecy was saying that when this child is born, it's a sign that the light has come. Listen, this is more than just a cool historical moment for the Israelites. This was more than just a cool, okay, we're writing in our history books that the Savior's. No, this is the coming of the light that will end our darkness, that will end our hundreds of years of oppression. The Messiah, the Savior, who would turn everything around. Imagine for a second, for hundreds and hundreds of years, your people living in oppression and exile. And your father tells you the story of a prophet named Isaiah. He said, Isaiah prophesied that one day our darkness, our oppression will end. One day, and this will be the sign, a child will be born. A and he will represent the coming of the light that will save us all. And you know that your dad heard this story from his father, who heard it from his father, who heard it from his father, and you're telling your son, and they're telling their sons and daughters, and their sons and daughters. And for hundreds of years, this tale, this prophecy of this coming light has been in your people and in your family. And finally, one day, it comes. This is where we find ourselves in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. You see, Christmas is not just about a birth. You know, if you've been watching The Mandalorian, there's the cute baby Yoda, right? And I think a lot of times when we think about this story, we think about, oh my God, like Mary's pregnant. They're going around trying to, oh my God, there's a cute little barn with cute little barn animals. Oh, baby in the manger in the hay, like cute baby Jesus. Oh, he's come for our sins. He saved us. This was a huge deal. Imagine for these people waiting for centuries for that light prophesied to come, and all of a sudden this baby is the sign that the arrival of the light of the world that would end all darkness has come. You see, the coming of Jesus was more than just a cool historical event. It was the fulfillment of hundreds of years of waiting for God to act upon his promise. It was this response of generation upon generation. Imagine, generation after generation, you're praying this one prayer. Lord, bring the light that would end the darkness. This was the response to those generations of prayers. I don't know about you, but when I think about how long I wait for some of my prayer requests to happen, like I get pretty impatient if God doesn't answer my prayer within a week. Imagine hundreds of years, descendant after descendant, waiting. See, Christmas is not just about a birth. It's about the arrival of the light of the world, the one they had been anticipating to come. But this is the beautiful thing about the Advent message, is that Jesus' arrival wasn't just the answer for the darkness of the Israelites. But when we read the story, we can be encouraged and hopeful because we see that Jesus' arrival on earth 2,000 years ago is the hope for the darkness in our lives. And I think many of us, we have areas in our lives that are shrouded by darkness. It might not be hundreds of years of oppression and slavery. It might be a problem in your relationships. It might be a problem in your family. It might be a problem in your workplace. It might be something internal. But Advent isn't about placing our hope in better circumstances, hoping one day that things might get better. You see, hope isn't a theory. Hope isn't a dream. Hope isn't this conceptual thing. We see that hope is a person, Jesus, the light of the world. And so when we read this story, we have hope because we see that Jesus' arrival is the hope for the darkness that we experience in our lives. But here's the question, and I know you're already asking it. The question is this: if the light has come, if it's finally come, then why is there still so much darkness in my life? Right? I know this is good in theory. Sure, Jesus, the light of the world, came. It means that he's come to light up my darkness. But why is there still so much brokenness around me? Why is there still so much pain in my family? Why is there still cancer? Why is there still so much darkness in the Tenderloin in San Francisco? Why is there still so much darkness in my life? And this is the mystery of Advent, that we are in this place between the already and the not yet. That he has defeated death and darkness, but his victory is still making its way throughout our lives. And the best illustration that I could think of, because I'm a space nerd, is I love starlight. And the thing I love about Starlight is it blows my mind, because I think oftentimes it's kind of hard in the city to see starlight, but when you're out in the countryside, you see all those stars. Do you know that the starlight, the light that we see from those stars, are from millions of light years away? Meaning that it took millions of years, thousands of years, for that light to travel from that star to reach us. So the light that we're seeing might actually be from a star that's actually already dead. But it's just taken so much time, thousands and millions of years, to make its way throughout time and space to reach us today. And I find that from the moment Jesus arrived, it's just like that. That the moment Jesus was born, a light started radiating throughout time and history. And that same light that came when Jesus came has been radiating throughout history, has been radiating throughout time. And even the light that we experience from Jesus in our lives today has been radiating from that single moment. And so there's darkness still in the world. There's still darkness in time. But that light is slowly making its way throughout all time and space and history to cover every bit of darkness. See, his victory, his light, is still making its way throughout all the darkness in our world. It hasn't completed its course. It hasn't completely covered all of the darkness. But we have this promise in Revelation 21, 4 through 6, speaking about when the second advent takes place, when Jesus returns. This is the promise. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. And those who are victorious will inherit all of this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. When we talk about having anticipation, this is the great anticipation of Advent. That there is a day coming when Jesus will come back again, when the second Advent will take place, and the light that started shining from the first Advent will completely cover the darkness when Jesus comes again, a day when all things will be made new. I don't know if you can imagine it. I literally can't imagine it. A day where we don't have to cry anymore. A day where all injustices are made right. A day where there's no more pain or heartbreak or the pitfall of discouragement and depression. A day when all infirmities will be made whole. A day when everything will be made new. This is what we are anticipating. And what it means to be an Advent people is to say that the light has come and the light is still coming. That one day the light came 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. But that light that has come gives us hope that there will be a day, a second coming, when the light completely overcomes the darkness. This is the anticipation, that the darkness and the darkest parts of our lives will one day be radiating with light. This is the Advent hope, and this is the adventation. This is the anticipation that God calls us to in this season, is to say, I see darkness in my life. I see darkness in my relationships. I see darkness in my family. I see darkness all around me. But I'm going to choose to anticipate that light has come, and light is coming. And so this season of Advent, as we remember the past and anticipate the future, I pray that we do not forget the present. I don't know what darkness you're experiencing in your life. I don't know what kind of darkness is shrouding those parts of your heart. But whatever the darkness is, the season of Advent reminds us that 2,000 years ago, light arrived. And that light has been shining throughout the ages to reach us today. And in this season, I want us to continue praying over all the darkness in our lives and the darkness around us. The light has come and light is coming. That the darkness may not have completely passed yet, but we are living with anticipation and hope that Jesus will come and eliminate the darkness for good. I want to close with this quote from Alfred Delp. He says this, "Advent is a time of promise. It is not yet the time of fulfillment. We are still in the midst of everything in the logical inexorability and relentlessness of destiny. Space is still filled with the noise of destruction and annihilation, the shouts of self-assurance and arrogance, the weeping of despair and helplessness. But around the horizon, the eternal reality stands silent in their age-old longing. There shines on them already the first mild light of the radiant fulfillment to come. From afar sound the first notes as of pipes and voices, not yet discernible as a song or a melody. It is still far off and only just announced and foretold, but it is happening today." And I just want to close by reading Isaiah 60:1-3. This is the prophetic word given to the Israelites as they were enduring centuries of darkness. And this is the prophetic word for us as Advent people today. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Arise and shine, for your light has come." Why don't we close our eyes, and I want us to respond with a time of prayer. I want us to respond by beginning to think about, is there any darkness in your life? Is there any darkness that you're experiencing? Is there any area of your life that's full of despair or discouragement or sorrow? Any area of your life that has been touched by death and sin? Is there any area that's only filled with despair and hopelessness? And if that's you, I want you today to declare over that area that light has come and light is coming. That despite the darkness that I see and experience, despite the darkness in my family, despite the darkness in my friends, despite the darkness within my own heart and mind, despite the darkness in my body, despite the darkness in my circumstance and my situation, that light has come. At 2,000 years ago, we can remember the arrival of light, and it could give us hope that light is still coming, that light is still making its way throughout the darkest parts of our lives. And so right now, I just want you to have a moment with God, and I want you to invite the light of the world into your darkness. And it may not mean that everything is going to be made right away. It may not even mean that in this lifetime that things will see, you'll see breakthrough and light in the area that's dark. But you can know for certainty that there will come a day in the second advent, in the coming of Jesus, where there will be no more tears, no more brokenness, no more sorrow, no more darkness, for the light has overcome. Today, I want you to speak over your darkness that light has come and that light is coming. I hear in between the already and the not yet that we can experience the hope and the anticipation for the future light of the world to cover all of our darkness. Just take a moment to do that.